you in the 06010.
Focus.
Are you saying that I can't be a backup singer?
No, I'm not.
I have a question. Matthew, hey Matthew.
I have an answer for you. Yes, sir.
Who is it that sings the introduction song to the podcast?
International recording superstar Eric Hutchinson.
Let's keep it that way.
Thank you. Snap!
Wow.
By the way, that's like the dad jokiest of dad jokes. Like, that's such an old, like, you know, like, oh, who sings that? Let's keep it that way. Or like, yeah, why don't you let him?
I know.
Like, that's like, it's like, and I played along with it because I'm a team player.
It's super.
I knew where he was going with it.
Yeah.
But it is like, it's like, I'm the dad on the show. You know, as far as we
but
all
you're not
know,
funny, so I take
as far
over
as the
in
three
that
of
regard.
Us know, right? I'm the one that knows I have kids, but I'm just saying, like, that was the dad. You're like lord of the dad jokes.
I have a corner and I stick in it, and that's my
saying.
Corner.
That's right.
I mean, right? Secret Squirrel, be honest.
You're not
me.
Wrong.
I'm not. Thank
wrong.
You very much.
A reminder that the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Yeah. It is Friday. It's a week two preview show, and we have no time to spare. So let's get right into it. We have a whole bunch of injury updates, and I'm going to go right to Stefania Bell, who is over in whatever we're calling her room. That's not the palatial estate, but it's at least on campus, which is good news. And Stefania, we've got all kinds of names, and the latest update on Michael Thomas gives me just like a teeny tiny speck of hope.
I don't know why, because the updates that you're hearing that are super positive are based on a player feeling good who's not doing anything. And I would just point out, we talked about some of the stats of guys trying to come back early from high ankle sprains, and they struggle. And I tweeted this the other day, that guys can feel really good walking around, but then when they go and try and plant and pivot, and that's when they find out that the ankle is just not going to cooperate. Now, I'm going to go with Mike Triplett, who's as dialed in as anyone with the Saints. And if you look at the wording of his reporting, the Saints expected him to miss, Michael Thomas, that is. They expect him to miss Monday night. Michael Thomas, however, feels differently and would like a shot to play. So, of course, they're not declaring anything officially. But I think it's noteworthy that Mike Triplett also reported that the Saints discussed placing Thomas on IR, but he was opposed because he thinks he can come back more quickly. So this is not a 2 or 3 day injury. If they were having a discussion point about injured reserve, I would expect at this point that he's not going to play Monday night. And if he does, I'm going to say he'll be limited with
this
type of injury.
Okay, you're going to be very busy in the show, Stefania. We're going to get back to you in just a moment. Matthew, there's a
you're
strategy.
Not playing, you're not playing Michael Thomas. Stop it.
Okay, good. That's exactly the kind of succinct clarity that people need. I think the answer will be made, or the decision will be made for you before Sunday at 1 p.m.
We'll I agree.
Much more updated intel beyond what Stefania is already sort of pointing towards. But I think, generally speaking, you're erring against playing.
Here's exactly what's going to happen. I'm just going to save everyone the trouble, okay? Because Stefania's absolutely right.
Crystal
you think
ball.
About Mike Triplett, who has done a great job covering the Saints for us for a number of years. We love Mike here on the show. Here's what's going to happen. Michael Thomas is going to tell reporters that he thinks great. You know, maybe he'll tweet something like that. Sean Payton will say, like, we're going to see. We'd love to have him out there. He doesn't need to practice to play in the game. Okay. And then what's going to happen is Sunday morning, about 12:30 in the morning, maybe 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Schefter is going to tweet. Michael Thomas, who's listed as questionable on the practice report, is not expected to play on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen.
Interesting.
That's exactly what's going to happen. That is my prediction. I have no inside information. I'm just reading the tea leaves here, and I'm telling you right now, I believe that's what's going to happen.
Okay, I don't think it'll happen at 12:30 on Sunday morning from Shefty. I think all these
Shefty
Sunday
always
injuries...
Shefty always does that tweet dump, you know? At like
no, I know, but that's for the Sunday games. I think
I
it'll be a little bit later on Michael Thomas, but I do think the decision will be made for you. Stefania, let's move forward to A.J. Brown, because this is another one where Shefty was on the ball yesterday with some new info. What do we know about him and his knee issue?
This is significant to me that AJ Brown missed practice with a bone bruise. And I feel like I make this reminder every year. You hear bruise, you think, oh, that's not really a big deal. But let me remind you that that's bleeding. And so you're talking about bleeding within the bone. And everyone wants to be careful with this so that it doesn't turn into a fracture, a true fracture. And so if you look at Schefter's tweet, it said jeopardizing his availability for Sunday and beyond. This is typically a multi-week issue. I would certainly plan on not having AJ Brown this week.
If I'm not mistaken, Corey Davis is also a little bit banged up, Stefania. Do you know anything about that, or am I just making stuff up?
No, I think the soft tissue injury had been the concern with him, but I don't get the feeling that he's in jeopardy for this week.
Okay, so that's good news on Corey Davis. Not such great news on A.J. Brown, Matthew. So let's just assume that A.J. Brown sits out, and I have removed him from my ranks. Mike Clay has removed him from his projections. How high does Corey Davis climb, presuming that he plays in a matchup that I think is good? I mean, I know that they got great. The Jaguars got great play from their first-round pick in week one, C.J. Henderson, but not a defense that necessarily scares me.
No, not a defense that scares you. So listen, I think he moves up into he's a wide receiver three with upside, and I know we use that phrase a lot, but I do believe that to actually be the case.
Sure.
Here, I have Derrick Henry as my number two running back overall this week, and I thought for long and hard about putting him at one over Christian McCaffrey. Because, again, McCaffrey has struggled against Tampa Bay. The one bad game he had last year was against the Buccaneers. And so, ultimately, I went with CMC. But I think this is a massive Derrick Henry game. You'll see a little Jonnu Smith here. You're encouraged by what Corey Davis did last week. And then you know that gif where there's a guy rising out of the coffin?
That would be The Undertaker.
Yeah, The Undertaker. There you go. Right, sorry. Right. So, well, whatever. I'm not a wrestling guy. All right, fine. The Undertaker. But you know that gif, all right, of The Undertaker. That's fine. Yeah, I'm not a wrestling guy.
Slim Jim. You know that guy, Matthew?
Yeah, that's Randy Savage. Macho Man Randy Savage. That one I know. Right. Whatever. You're the wrestling guy on the show. I make no bones about it. But my point is, that's Adam Humphries.
Okay.
You know, just like, whoa, remember, I'm still here, guys. Anyway, I don't think Corey Davis is suddenly a must start, but certainly his prospects are higher here. Again, I think he's probably in that 30-ish wide receiver range, top 30-ish wide receiver range.
The Buccaneers are now dealing with two wide receiver injuries, Stefania. Mike Evans played in week one, but still a little bit banged up. And then Chris Godwin, who we discussed yesterday, entered concussion protocol.
And Chris Godwin's still not practicing field. I think, as we always say with concussion-related issues, you have to check day-by-day status. Just because a player goes into the protocol doesn't mean he's necessarily been diagnosed with a concussion, but they're taking all precautions. So we take it day-by-day, but certainly him missing Wednesday and Thursday doesn't look good. As for Mike Evans, feeling much better, practicing on a limited basis so far this week, I just want to point out, I think we talked about this on Sunday on Fantasy Football Now, that sometimes when a receiver is deployed who has a hamstring injury, the team will strategically limit the routes that they run and how they utilize them. And Bruce Arians essentially acknowledged that this week and confirmed that they were careful with how they deployed him, maybe wished they had deployed him a little bit more. But I think it was smart because now he feels better this week, and I think you'll get a good dose of Mike Evans in Sunday's contest.
All right. Just a reminder that yesterday we discussed on the podcast, you weren't listening. Maybe you downloaded.
I downloaded.
Okay,
I didn't
good
listen.
Job. Appreciate that. It will not be Scotty Miller moving into the slot, most likely, if Chris Godwin sits. It'll actually be Justin Watson taking on some of those snaps. But Scotty Miller seems like the Buccaneers wide receiver that's not normally in your lineups that you should make room for on Sunday.
100%. Scotty Miller had a great game last week. I think, I want to say off the top of my head, I want to say 76 yards.
73.
Okay. So, I want to say that got like seven targets, like six receptions, seven targets, or five receptions on six targets.
There it is. Yep.
Five receptions, six targets, 73 yards. Oh, he had a rush. They gave him an end around rush for 6 yards. So six total touches for Scotty Miller. They really like him. And if you go back and look at my preseason 10 lists of 10, talked about the fact that I was one of the preseason buzz items that I was buying was the connection between Tom Brady and Scotty Miller. Yes, in their three wide sets, it's going to be Watson in the slot, and you've got Evans and Scotty Miller on the outside here. I think Tom Brady has a massive monster game here against the Carolina Panthers. It's a bad defense. He doesn't like how week one went. And so I think you see a massive amount of points scored here. And give me all the Mike Evans. And yes, love Scotty Miller this week, who's still out there in about 80% of ESPN leagues. They have a real connection there. And now there's going to be a lot of targets available, unfortunately, if Chris Godwin sits. As Stefania often notes, concussions are a non-linear injury. They can get better and then they can get worse. So this is something we will monitor throughout game time. But I'll say this, even if Chris Godwin is active on Sunday, give me Scotty Miller as a as a DFS play or as a deeper league play.
Stefania, big deep breath because we've got a ton of wide receivers for you. And I'm just going to have you rip through wide receivers that as of this podcast are listed as questionable or expected to be listed as questionable for Sunday's games, starting with Julio Jones.
Julio Jones oft appears on the injury report rarely ever misses a game. Listed with a questionable with a hamstring, but I expect that you'll see him go through more today and play. Kenny Galladay still not practicing so far this week. Sorry, Daniel, but I think Kenny Galladay is going to miss another week. Courtland Sutton to me is really interesting. Got some observations from practice yesterday that when he was catching passes towards his left shoulder, the uninjured one, he could catch with both hands. When he was catching passes thrown towards his right shoulder, the one he injured a week ago, he was catching one-handed, and that was not with the right one. Not lifting his arm overhead yet. So I get the sense that they're feeling more optimistic about his ability to play this week, but the notion that he would be at 100%, I think, is off the mark. Devontae Parker, limited in practice, but if you listen to what Brian Flores has been saying, he's not doing much and the hamstring is still bothering him. So I think Friday's a big day. Stay tuned for that. Amari Cooper, I'm not as worried about him. You know, he's been dealing with a couple of soft tissue injuries since preseason. I don't think it's going to be something that costs him time, at least not yet. Jameson Crowder, interestingly, practiced Wednesday, then didn't practice on Thursday. Hamstring issue for him as well, so stay tuned. And then Brandon Cooks, game time decision last week, definitely still hampered by the quad. Again, he's one to monitor for the next couple of days.
Man, Stefania, the Jets just cannot seem to catch a break with wide receiver injuries.
Or a football.
Hey, yo. Someone's stealing their dad cornerback. All right, let's, again, all those injuries will be updated on Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Stefania, there are also some notable injuries at other positions led by George Kittle. And you have been clear throughout this week, George Kittle not practicing does not preclude him from sitting on from playing on Sunday.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan, speaking with reporters, was very clear about that. You know, I do like this. Shanahan is pretty straightforward when it comes to injury issues and not afraid to talk about them. And he said, look, George Kittle is a guy who's shown you how tough he is because he plays through things. But we noticed there was a drop off. He played in the second half after injuring his knee last week, but really didn't do much in terms of fantasy production. It's going to be a little bit of a roll of the dice, but I expect him to be out there. This is a guy who will push so hard to play through, and it will come down to Sunday if it has to. But I don't necessarily expect him to do anything on Friday. It's just a walkthrough today. So even if you see him out there, he's not really truly going to test it.
All right. I have a couple of running backs. There are if George Kittle sits, by the way, on Sunday, and it sounds unlikely he will, there are a reasonable number of tight ends to go grab off the waiver wire, including someone like Dallas Goedert, still available in a good chunk of leagues. But let's talk about James Conner and Philip Lindsay to wrap up the injury report for week two.
Yeah, James Conner back to full participation practice. So I think, remember earlier in the week, I said I thought maybe it was a business decision to hold him out for the rest of the game. I think full participation in practice suggests as much, and I do think that he will play. Philip Lindsay with turf toe, they're calling him week to week, hasn't practiced yet, not looking good for him this week.
All right, Matthew, I think the James Conner injury does bear a little bit of discussion quickly here. If he plays, like, how do you play any Pittsburgh Steelers running back?
You don't.
Okay, you sit away. You pass.
I mean, you
fade.
May not have a choice depending on how your team, you know, how deep your league is. But assuming you're in a 10-team league or a 12-team league, you don't. I mean, look, let's assume James Conner's gonna be active, right? And so full participant in practice yesterday, as Stefania mentioned, right? Okay. So, like, first off, he was the worst running back. Like, just when he was active, Benny Snell looked played better, right? But then, like, Conner's gonna be active. I don't know that you love the match. You're not scared of the matchup against the Broncos, but it's not like one where you're like, oh, you got to get somebody into your lineup. Like, it's a middle of the road matchup bordering on bad. And so my feeling here is that, like, you just don't know, will he be able to hold up throughout the whole game? Will he get replaced by Benny Snell? Will they go with a hot hand approach here? But you also can't feel good about Benny Snell because James Conner's going to be out there. And it is an absolute disaster for fantasy managers' decision-making. You'd be better off if James Conner were declared out in this game, but it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen. And so for me, again, we try to narrow whatever variables there are in fantasy football because there are so many. To me, there's so many different ways that it could go with the Pittsburgh running backs. Like, I would not feel confident in starting any of them until we get some sense of clarity in that backfield, and I think we'll have none going into Sunday.
A fairly fun Thursday night football game last night between the Bengals and the Browns. The Browns come out with a 35-30 win, though Joe Burrow did have, I don't know about historic night in some ways, though. I mean, he had 37 completions, most ever by a rookie in a single game, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. He also had 61 attempts, Matthew. there. Let's, if you were to do sort of a quick hitting, rapid fire, three takeaways from last night's game that you think are more important, understanding that we are going to dive in on all of these players throughout next week, what would be the three most important things you saw or learned last night?
Real quickly, I would say with the quarterbacks, like, great to see Baker look good. Baker was accurate. All the issues that Baker had in week one against the Ravens, he fixed. And, you know, he was accurate. He made good decision-making, great throws, got Beckham going. And so I don't know that you're necessarily starting Baker Mayfield, but to the extent that you were worried about Baker as it relates to Odell Beckham Jr. or Jarvis Landry, I think those concerns are now alleviated. So that was great. And then, you know, listen, it's 1 week, but it was good to see. It was very good to see. You're very happy, especially, by the way, if you have Beckham, right? And then on the other side, like, Joe Burrow is going to be very good and very soon. Like, he's not there yet, but he's going to be really, really good in this league for a long, long time. Like, there were, you know, there were some things last night where you're like, oh, okay, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, as somebody who has Joe Burrow in a dynasty league, I was very happy last night with that performance. Look, he threw over 60 times. But for me, the other two takeaways here were, I think, the Browns running backs, you know, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Look, the fact that Kareem Hunt got the two touchdowns, great, right? But, I mean, he was basically, Nick Chubb doubled his touches, right? And so that's a concern. And so, and a lot of Hunt's yardage came on basically the final drive when, like, the Bengals were basically gassed. And so I was happy to see that they stuck with Hunt down at the end, at the goal line here.
Chubb.
But I'm sorry?
It's like with Chubb.
No. At the very end of the game. At the very, very end of the game, like, he got stopped, and then they could have brought Chubb in for a third touchdown, but they gave the second one to Hunt. So that was great to see. But as somebody who has a lot of Hunt this year. But yeah, I mean, this is, it looks like, In games in which they're winning, it's going to be the Chubb show. In games in which they're down, it's going to be the Kareem Hunt show. So I think last night sort of reset a little bit to back to sort of what we expect in the preseason, was that Chubb's the one, Hunt is the two. But still, both guys can be productive fantasy-wise in this offense here. And then the last thing for me is that I think everyone should sell AJ Green. If you're in my league, everyone else should try to buy low. Like, guy got 13 targets. I get it. It was a bad game. I get it. It was a bad fantasy game
for
AJ Green. Are you really?
I am, yeah.
To me, like, let me lay out why I'm not,
okay,
and then you tell me why you are. We think AJ Green's talented, right? We do. I mean, maybe you don't.
That's what I'm nervous about.
Okay, maybe you're not. I think AJ Green is still talented.
Okay.
I think AJ, remember, prior to this year, he hadn't played football in like over 600 days or something like that. So he's a little bit rusty, but I still think AJ Green is talented. I think Joe Burrow is talented. I think the usage is there. Again, he got 13 targets last night. They didn't have a lot of practice time in the preseason together. That will come together. But if he's going to continue to get, you know, double digit targets, which I think he will, listen, Joe Burrow's not going to be throwing 60 times a game. I get it. But for me, I think AJ Green's value is at its all time lowest. I'm buying rather than trying to bail.
I'm just a little bit nervous.
Okay.
Sometimes the descent from stardom to, you know, average, mm-hmm, or not stardom is rapid. It just happens, right? And I'm just nervous. The first 2 weeks, I have not seen a particular explosiveness from AJ Green that I'm used to. You are 100% fair in assuming that there is some rust that still needs to be knocked off. And the good news is that, like, based off where he was drafted, you're not counting on AJ Green as a weekly staple unless you're in a 16-team league like us in the War Room League.
Right.
If you're playing in the 10-team league, he probably was a bench consideration or a flex consideration for you. So you might be okay. I'm just a little bit nervous. I'm following this story closely as we get into future weeks.
Through two games, 22 targets.
I love that part. I also consistently struggled to get off man coverage last night. We're going to come back and discuss a bunch of storylines.
But Denzel Ward's a good player.
Sure. I know. I'm just saying. Three catches on 13 targets. I don't care for being guarded by Darrell Revis. It's still a problem.
Last night was not good. And some of that was on Burrow, too, by the way. I mean, not all those balls were catchable.
I'm just saying, I'm a little bit nervous, which is acceptable after a guy has 10 of his passes thrown to him.
I will allow your nervousness, but don't put him in the coffin with the Undertaker just yet.
Oh, well, the good news is if you put him in the coffin, then he can return because that's what the Undertaker did.
For you kids at home learning comedy, that's what's called a callback.
We're going to discuss a bunch of backfields that are very crowded in just a second. But first, Daniel, you tell us a little bit something about something.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast, the CSS DFS podcast, available every Thursday right here in the Fantasy Focus football feed.
What?
So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fuel up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help you keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gasoline again. And finally, my favorite part, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Time to wrap it up, guys. Make most of the time that you have when you need to make your stops with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, see full terms and conditions at FuelRewards.com. Field Yates, why don't you tell me a little something?
All right, Daniel. Hi there, football fans living in apartments and big city. We're sympathizing with all you out there who want every live game every Sunday afternoon, but who can't get DirecTV where you live. Well, I have some good news for you. Now you can stream 2020 NFL Sunday Ticket on your favorite devices, no satellite required, and get every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. Go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv now to see if you're eligible. Why watch only one Sunday out-of-market game when you can watch them all? Catch every game with NFLSundayTicket.tv. Use promo code ESPN2020 at checkout to save 15%. That's promo code ESPN2020 to save 15% at NFLSundayTicket.tv. Don't miss any of the action. Head to NFLSundayTicket.tv today. All right, a bunch of backfields, as I mentioned, that are still crowded after last week or maybe got even more confusing. Let's start in Detroit. And Daniel, sorry about what happened last week.
Okay.
But we have two backs ranked this week. That's the good news. We've narrowed this down from three running backs to two, Matthew. And yet we have a coin flip between DeAndre Swift and Adrian Peterson with, believe it or not, Adrian Peterson taking the slightest of edges over DeAndre Swift. Are we really playing Adrian Peterson over DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, right? Who do you think is more likely to fall into the end zone, Adrian Peterson? You know?
I know.
I mean, like, who's more likely to catch a touchdown pass, Adrian Peterson?
Well, is that a...
Catches the... I'm not saying...
Wow, what did DeAndre Swift ever do to you?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing here. But Daniel Dopp, how long do you have? I have no problem. I apologize, DeAndre Swift.
38 more
minutes. That's entirely about Daniel Dopp's pain. That is not meant to rub salt in your wounds, DeAndre Swift. But that's entirely about Secret Squirrel there. But yeah, I mean, look.
Is this a full fade here? Would you prefer to not play any of them?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where I'm at, honestly. I think the Packers will play well here. I think that the Packers, who traditionally, in Secret Squirrel, you can speak to this, feels like the Packers always kill the Lions. That it's always a high-scoring game, and the Packers always seem to have Detroit's number here. And I did not get enough clarity on this backfield last week to feel confident in starting any of these guys. We don't want any part of Kerryon Johnson, but yes. Kerryon Johnson is going to be on the field and touch the ball at least some.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I feel is that Kerryon should absolutely not be lineups. And if you did have to choose between a Lions running back, though, it would be DeAndre Swift or Adrian Peterson. My hope is that they want to get DeAndre Swift involved as a rookie. Second game, you know, put all that behind you. Let's give him a workload and see if maybe we can get this rookie back on track. I just feels like, I don't know, I could see that happening this week. That's why I have Swift just like two spots higher than AP, but we're all right there back-to-back with each other.
And if I have to choose, the reason I have AP higher is, again, I mean, in terms of the data we have to go off of, which is literally 1 week, Adrian Peterson touched the ball 17 times. DeAndre Swift touched it six.
Yeah.
And by the way, Adrian Peterson was good. Adrian Peterson was effective
great.
Last
93
week.
93 rushing yards. He just shows up and just rolls out of bed and... Gets you eight yards on a power play.
Yeah, right, and the game is in Lambeau, right? I mean, not that you're worried about the Lambeau crowd or anything like that, but I just do feel like, you know, on the ground, in Lambeau, I think they're going to want to try to, pardon the phrasing here, but actually establish the run.
All right. If I were a Lions player and I scored a touchdown on Sunday, I would 100% do the Lambeau leap. That would be an excellent troll job on Sunday,
amazing.
Right?
But what would be great is you have to run around to find a guy there. Like,
there's no one there.
There's not Lambeau's going to have nothing, not
no
like a
fans.
Couple thousand fans. Okay.
No, nothing. Just go and just jump into
just
an
jump
empty
in.
Section of seats. Let's go to Jacksonville. We'll go to Tennessee, technically, where Jacksonville is going to be playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
Fade or play? And if you're playing, who is it and how much confidence do you have in that running back?
If I'm playing anyone, it's James Robinson.
Okay, agreed.
And my confidence is a flex play. I mean, look, he's the guy that got all the running back touches, all the running back carries for the Jaguars here. It's not a great matchup here. He got, I believe, 17 of 20 running back touches.
That's last correct.
For the Jags. You know, but, you know, Tennessee's a good defense. Yeah. Tennessee's a good defense here.
And, they totally are.
And it feels like this is one of the reasons why I was so high on Minshew in the preseason, right? Was that I talked about this a lot. What does Jay Gruden like to do? He likes to throw. What does Ben McAdoo, the quarterback's coach of the Jaguars, like to do? He likes to throw. Like, they're going to throw.
They didn't throw much last week.
They didn't need to.
I'm just saying.
Because he didn't miss.
Right, he didn't
miss. He had one incompletion.
Correct, yeah. But just 20 total passing plays. I'm with you, and I have him ranked just about where you do. I think in a perfect world, I might actually be fading this backfield, too. And here's the reason why, is that, like, they won. So we look through our teal-colored glasses right now, and 16 for 62 looks, hey, they won. No more Trevor Lawrence tank job, right? But, like, if they had lost that game and he gets 16 for 62, you're kind of like, oh, basically no passing game usage. They're going to struggle to score points this year. The Titans are really good defense. If I had my druthers, I would be fading here. How about the backfield in Buffalo? Because this one, I think, has two players that people are considering playing, Matthew, in Devin Singletary and also Zach Moss. What did you learn from this backfield last weekend, and how much confidence do you have? Because whereas I have Devin Singletary ranked ahead of Zach Moss, you have it reversed. Do you believe what you saw in week one from Zach Moss was enough to believe he should be the better running back going forward?
I do, and more importantly here in this particular game, I think Zach Moss scores a touchdown.
Okay.
Just saying that right now.
Back-to-back game for the touchdown for Zach Moss. I like it.
Playing against the Miami Dolphins, mm-hmm. Which is a defense that struggled, that gave up, you know, a couple rushing scores, obviously, to Cam last week.
Yeah.
I think that, listen, I have Josh Allen as a top three play this week. But beyond that, I'm sorry, as a top four play. I have Allen at four. But I think Zach Moss gets into the end zone. So that's why I
like the gut call.
I'm just telling you.
Love
Zach Moss
it.
Scores a touchdown against the Miami Dolphins. They've allowed the third most running back rushing yards since the start of 2019. You know, and honestly, like I think it's a matter of when, not if, Zach Moss takes over this backfield. Make no mistake, Devin Singletary is always going to be involved. They like Devin Singletary there. I think he's a talented running back. I think Zach Moss is better. And so the fact that they were basically a 50-50 split in week one, I know Singletary had more of a snap edge, but in terms of like production, feels like it was basically 50-50. And so I think for our purposes here in fantasy football land, I think because of the touchdown equity that Zach Moss is likely to get this season, I think you're going to want, at the end of the year, you're going to want to have had Moss over Singletary this year. And I certainly think this week, because I'm calling it, Zach Moss gets into the end zone.
I like the call. Let's go to Chicago. They play the Giants on Sunday in Chicago. David Montgomery, of course, played last week, did not show any signs of that groin issue that he suffered during the middle of training camp. He is 20 for you, 22 for me, 21 for Daniel. So we all sort of feel the same way, a low-end RB2, potentially a high-end flex consideration. And Tariq Cohen, lower-tier flex play. Don't know that we necessarily saw a lot from this backfield last week, Matthew, that either encouraged me or discouraged me. It kind of went about as expected.
If there's an encouraging part here, it was that Montgomery, who came into that game banged up, didn't look hurt.
I agree on that.
You know what I mean? So it looked like, okay, that's Dave Montgomery. Now, was he effective? No, but he hasn't been effective his entire NFL career. So it's like, all right, fine. But he is going to get a lot of work at home in a really good matchup against a Giants team that was run over all day by Benny Snell the week before. And so Montgomery here, who also got three targets compared with just two to Tariq Cohen the week before. Yeah, I mean, I have him at 20. Like, you sort of have to hold your nose and click submit. But I do think David Montgomery gets enough volume here in a good matchup to be RB2 viable.
All right, so Ron Rivera recently made comments about how it might take all the way into 2021 for this Washington offense to kind of find its way to how they sort of envision it being at its best.
Unbelievable. When you think about a 16-0 Washington team that's still finding its offense,
right.
It's unbelievable.
That is a very good point. Your
right?
First place Washington football team.
Thank you very much. Yeah, put some respect on that name. That's right. The first place undefeated Washington professional football team.
I think part of that evolution is going to eventually be fading away from Peyton Barber, who did play a ton last week, but was very inefficient. He scored twice, I believe.
What
it was
about 1.7 yards per carry doesn't excite you?
Why not? I mean, who doesn't love 1.7 yards per carry? That being said, Matthew, sure. For now, I think that workload is probably enough to depress the value of Antonio Gibson a little bit. Gibson's exciting, as we know, but there wasn't a ton of passing game volume, so I still have Gibson ranked highest, but maybe I need to lower my expectation. This might be a fade backfield as well.
I think 100%. Look, Peyton Barber fell into the end zone twice, but I think if you watch that game, what should discourage you is the lack of Antonio Gibson usage. It is truly a committee here, and make no mistake, in terms of just pure NFL talent, Antonio Gibson is significantly more talented and has more upside, both real life and fantasy-wise, than J.D. McKissic or Peyton Barber. That's indisputable. But I know for a fact that what they want is a multi-headed approach, at least for now, in that backfield. So Peyton Barber is going to continue to get work. I believe he got 17 carries in this game.
For 29 yards. 1.7 yards per carry.
Exactly. I mean, it was brutal.
Robust.
But my point is he wasn't getting anywhere, and they still gave him 17 carries.
Yeah.
He did nothing, and they still gave him 17 carries. And then you've got J.D. McKissic there as well, and you've got Gibson. It'll get there at some point, but not this week. I think the matchup with Arizona is tougher than maybe people think, and defensively. And so, yeah, I think it's a three-headed monster on an offense that's not going to score a lot of points. For me, I agree with you. I think this entire backfield, ideally, is a fade.
So we often ask this question about a star player in a bad matchup. How much are you lowering expectations for that player? And to me, it only matters when you're moving that player out of your lineup, right? Like, hey, I'm lowering my expectations for Christian McCaffrey against the Bucs this weekend because the Bucs played him pretty well last year. Yeah, he's still like the player I'm most optimistic about in my entire roster. So I want to be careful in how we ask this question about Deshaun Watson. Are you lowering expectations against the Baltimore Ravens to the point that you are pulling him from your lineup? And don't just tell me it depends. Like, obviously it depends. But how little confidence do you have? And who is, if there is a quarterback that you think might be available or could have been your second quarterback?
I'm not pulling him from my...
There you go. There you have it. We're lowering expectations.
Yeah. Your lower expectations, I am at 11.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
I'm at QB 11.
Right.
I'm starting Deshaun Watson, similar to what we were talking about with like Kyler Murray last week or whatever. Like, and obviously Kyler Murray was awesome last week against the 49ers, but the example still holds. I am not going to drop a valuable piece of my lineup to get somebody into my on my roster to get another quarterback so I can sit Deshaun Watson because I think this guy is 8 and I have Watson at 11.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he had a terrible week last week and scored 20.8 fantasy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. And they also, like, the fear is that, hey, you know, you lower him, you bench him, and then he's Deshaun Watson. He could have 28 points this weekend, and no one would bat an eyelash whatsoever. Just be careful overthinking it with someone of his ilk. Aaron Rodgers.
If you have Deshaun Watson on your team, you drafted him fairly early among quarterbacks.
Yeah, of course.
He was one of the first 6 quarterbacks drafted in basically every draft. You're not bailing on a guy that you used a reasonably high draft pick on.
One
week into the season. If you have Deshaun Watson, you're starting.
Yes, Sam Action, let that be a message to you. Don't drop Deshaun Watson.
Is that a message? Oh. Is that Cowboy Sam?
No, it's the same league the Cowboy Sam plays in. Sam Action decided he wanted to drop Deshaun Watson because he wanted to keep Tom Brady on his roster. Didn't know who to drop in order to pick up Dallas Goedert. So he dropped Deshaun Watson in our league.
Sam, listen to this podcast?
I don't think he listens to this podcast.
Because I want to be nice to Sam.
Sam Action needs a different nickname.
Sam the moron. All right? That's Sam's new nickname.
There you go.
He's
Sam
not going to listen to
moron.
This.
Moron Sam.
So,
right. You got Cowboy Sam and Moron Sam.
I love it.
Be a way for you guys to determine which Sam is which.
Why isn't Aaron Rodgers inside our consensus top 10 this week? The matchup last week, obviously, he toasted, took advantage of. And Daniel, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to be.
No, do it, man.
Speaking it right into your ears here. It's the Lions.
His running backs catch passes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's one thing there.
And they were really good down the field last week.
Yes,
the Packers were in the passing game. So awesome vertical presence. Banged up secondary.
I'll answer the question.
Okay.
The reason why Aaron Rodgers is not our consensus top 10 is because of you two guys. I have him at 10. He's inside my top 10, but Secret Squirrel has him at 13.
Yeah.
Noted Packer hater Secret Squirrel
I'm
has him at
13. Correcting
you have him at 12.
Weekend. I'm market correcting. This afternoon,
is that what it is?
I don't know. I'm going to go change my ranking, though, because I don't know how I cannot have him set in my top 10. I got to go study who I have ahead of him. Obviously, there's some really, really good quarterbacks. You get through the Mahomes and the Jacksons and the Dax and the Kylers and the Watsons and the Russell Wilson and all those.
You've got Drew Brees, right? I mean, you would
you're getting knocked down a peg.
Matt Ryan,
same with you.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have Ryan ahead of Rodgers because I think that Dallas game is a shootout here. But yeah, Drew Brees without Michael Thomas in a game in which they should win easily. Drew Brees is actually on my hate list this week because I'm outside my top 10. So lower expectations here. But specifically to Aaron Rodgers, just so we could have a video here that they could clip. Specifically to Aaron Rodgers. First off, looked absolutely awesome last week.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, America. I put him on my hate list.
We
inspired him to greatness. We inspired him to greatness. The truth of the matter here, in all seriousness, with Aaron Rodgers, absolutely kills Detroit. right? His last eight full games against the Lions, 24.9 fantasy points per game, over 18 fantasy points in each of those games, always kills Detroit. There was nothing about the Lions secondary last week that gives you any sense of confidence. Like, by the way, all those games that I just mentioned, most of them were with Darius Slay, probably all of them. I just don't know if he missed one or two there. But the fact is that secondary has, at least for the moment, gotten worse. And nothing they did last week inspired any sort of confidence here. Aaron Rodgers looked absolutely great. Looks like he has a connection now with Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Alan Lazard. I want more of a sample size before I'm ready to trust those guys. But as far as it relates to Aaron Rodgers' fantasy value, especially when you think about what Davante Adams is doing, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, to me, an easy top 10 play this week.
All right, good stuff there. We'll come back and talk about some week one wide receivers who were awesome and whether they belong in your lineup in week two. But first, Daniel, a word from you.
When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job to ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Matthew's hair to grow back? I mean, that'd be awesome.
Wow.
How about not going to happen, though?
I'm just sitting here minding my own business.
But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. I'm sorry. That was mean.
It's true, though.
I mean, yeah.
That's it. Like, if you were just waiting for my hair to grow back.
Matthew's had dropping hair follicles since 2000 and whatever. Shout out to the others.
Take a long, long time.
Sorry.
Take a long, long time.
All right.
I'll tell you what I do have, though. Got more hair than that Geico Gecko.
Oh.
I'm just saying that. Take
that. How about
that
Geico Gecko?
Yeah, take that.
Take that, you Gecko.
All right, so let's get into wide receivers that were awesome last week and whether you think they deserve to be inside your lineup this week. Let's start with Darius Slayton, Matthew.
You know what's going to be frustrating to me, Secret Squirrel?
Tell me what.
Is that, like, in 60 years from now when we're still doing this podcast.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
If Field Yates is, like, you know, 70 or whatever, he's still going to have a big, thick, full head of hair.
It's
I can tell.
So frustrating.
It's very, like, you don't look like a guy that's going to go bald.
He's going to be that guy that ages like George Clooney, where, like, he just gets more attractive as he gets
really
older.
It's really upsetting.
Yeah.
It's insanely upsetting, actually. It's insanely upsetting.
I will take that.
Actually, more than you think about it. Because, by the way, like, I went gray prematurely. And then... So, I mean, you can sort of see it, right? You can see, like, I've sort of settled in this kind of, like, half gray, like, salt and pepper kind of thing going. And so I'm both gray and balding.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks, like, on pretty much every level.
Yeah.
You are you're a dual threat quarterback.
Listen, I had to wife Beth up early, you know, before she got smart and realized what was coming down the pike. I had to wife her up.
That was the best decision you made.
It really was.
1,000%.
Yeah. It's a great decision.
In a life of good decisions, that was the best one you have made. All right, let's get to wide receivers that were awesome in week one and whether you have confidence starting them in week two. We begin with Darius Slayton, of course, had a great game for the Giants on Monday night. So fine. Can I ask you, do you know about Golden Tate's hamstring? Anything that you would give that indicates he will play on Sunday?
Well, he's been practicing a little bit, you know, limited is what we're hearing. So it's still hard to gauge. Obviously, today, a big day, but so nothing official.
Okay, that's good to know, because if he was back in full, I'd have less confidence in Darius Slayton, Matthew. Is the Darius Slayton starting conversation dependent upon whether or not Golden Tate plays on Sunday?
No, I don't think it is.
Okay.
I think the Darius Slayton starting conversation dependent on whether, sort of, how lucky do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
We did this stat, is that I want to say, and Thirsty Kyle, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's something like he has, I want to say he has 11.
10.
Or 10, is it 10? 10
career,
10 career touchdowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's done those in four games. I think it's something like
that. So he's got 10 career receiving touchdowns, but he has four games with multiple receiving touchdowns.
Is that what it is?
So,
all right. So I got that stat somewhere
wrong. Close enough.
Close enough. The point of that stat is, regardless of whether I get it right or not, sorry, I got a lot going on up here. And, you
where,
know, without
where?
The hair,
not, not,
you know,
not,
well, without the hair to keep it in.
All right.
It just
got
sort
it.
Of like goes out.
Sure.
Right, yeah. what I would tell you here is that Darius Slayton is big play dependent. And when he hits big. But in terms of a consistent part of that offense, I'm not ready to go there yet. Don't love this matchup on the road at Chicago, playing at Chicago, and it's obviously it's a different year with COVID-19, but traditionally playing at Chicago has been awful for opposing quarterbacks. I'm not ready to say that I think this Giants offense goes in there and lights it up. Slayton's really talented, and I think they found themselves a real steal. I want to say, what is it, fifth round pick. They found themselves a real steal late in the draft there. Love the player. But in terms of a consistent fantasy force, I'm not ready to go there yet. And I have him, to your point, I'm at wide receiver 40 this week.
I said this during the preseason. There really wasn't a player that I had more of a disconnect with than Robbie Anderson, meaning that, like, there was zero buzz whatsoever. Yeah. Even like, I believed in my mind that Robbie Anderson was a good player and could thrive in an offense like he did at times for the Jets. But we never heard anything about him. And that's not a reflection of him or the coverage. It's just that there was no preseason games. There was limited padded practices. All the factors people are aware of. He had a monster week one. 25.5 fantasy points, Matthew. Immediate plug-and-play starter, flex consideration. Where does he land for you in this matchup against the Bucs?
Had him at wide receiver 36. Buccaneers played pretty good defense, right? They allowed just 20 wide receiver points to opposing wide receivers. You've obviously got DJ Moore there. You've got some Curtis Samuel as well. A lot of his production, not all of his production. Robbie Anderson was great in week one, but he had one big play. He had one huge play. That is part of Robbie Anderson's game, so that's fine. And I am more a Robbie Anderson believer than not. I prefer Robbie Anderson to Curtis Samuel if you're looking at the non-DJ Moore wide receiver you're looking for in Carolina. So I am there. Again, reunited with his coach, his college coach. I don't think people necessarily realize that Matt Rhule was his coach at Temple when Robbie Anderson played college ball. So that's exciting as well. He was one of the first free agent signings they made when Matt Rhule got to Carolina. And I think he fits the kind of offense that they want to run there. Having said that, he's also a little bit big play dependent. Of the guys we're going to talk about, he's the answer to the question is, which standout wide receiver from week one are you starting of sort of the borderline guys? I prefer him to Darius Slayton. I prefer him to Watkins or Lazard or Jamison Crowder or any of those guys. Like, I prefer Robbie Anderson to all those. But in terms of, do I think he's an automatic no-brainer start? I'm not there yet. But I have him ranked the highest of all the guys we're going to talk about.
Potential shootout in Sunday or in Tampa Bay on Sunday. Mike Clay did note yesterday that DJ Moore draws a difficult wide receiver cornerback matchup. All right, you mentioned Robbie Anderson, his old teammate. Jamison Crowder is now a Jet. Stefania told us, or still a Jet, I should say. Stefania told us earlier he got hurt during practice on Wednesday. He missed practice on Thursday. Matthew, I think the decision is going to be made for you. I don't think he's going to play on Sunday. That being said, if he does play, I actually like this matchup quite a bit. I know the Jets were really bad last week on offense, and they've been really bad for a while now on offense, but the 49ers are all sorts of banged up on defense right now. Richard Sherman plays on IR. Akella Witherspoon dealing with a concussion. We know about all the injuries dealing with on offense as well, but Dee Ford missed practice on Thursday or was limited on Thursday with a neck issue. So I actually think that if Jamison Crowder plays, he would be a lineup staple for me.
I agree. Based on the target share, as we sit here on Friday morning, my instincts are that he's not going to play as well.
Yep.
But I do think for people, I don't know if this came up on CSS DFS, but when we do our secret episode of SBF DFS, I'm going to mention Breshad Perriman as a cheap, interesting option. Again, to your point about how banged up that San Francisco defense is. I think Chris Herndon and Breshad Perriman are two interesting kind of cheap guys in DFS to note in this particular thing for a tournament play. And also, by the way, if you're in a deeper league, you're just looking for somebody there because I don't think Crowder plays here.
Yeah, and for those that maybe are watching, you see that I don't have him ranked. That's because, as I said just a moment ago, I don't think he will play as well. A lot of players are added on the waiver wire in week one, Matthew. People want to use them right away. Can you use Malcolm Brown? He was spectacular last week. He was RB5. This week, though, he makes the hate list. Is the being on the hate list enough to push him out of your lineup for the Rams on Sunday?
No, I mean, I am at 23. Again, it's all about expectations.
Mm-hmm.
A love-hate list is entirely about expectations. And I think everyone saw, you know, the 2-touchdown game against the Cowboys in a primetime game. So everyone's watching that game. And everyone's like, whoa, Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown's the new Todd Gurley. Got to start him. I have him outside my top 20. I'm lower on him than you. You have him at 20. I'm at 23. But, you know, I just think about this Eagles front seven, which is really good, right? They have the 7th fewest running back points since the start of 2019. I mean, you know, again, not saying that Malcolm Brown is Peyton Barber, obviously, but I mean, like in a game in which the Washington football team won, they held Peyton Barber to under 2 yards per carry, to 1.7 yards per carry. I think they're going to struggle to run the ball here against Philadelphia, an Eagles team that, by the way, is just like, that sort of got woken up by Washington. I think they sort of thought they were going to win that game. They didn't. They're 0-1. This is desperation time for the Eagles. They cannot go 0-2.
Yeah, because if you fall 2 games behind the Washington football team, you may never recover from that.
No, if you fall 2 games behind, I mean, like,
no,
just
I'm trying to, but whatever.
Jokes aside, like, you do not want, as an NFL team, just traditionally, you do not want to start 0-2.
Correct. Now, we have an extra playoff team this year, so we can't rely on the stats as much. But you're right. The 12-team format, the stat is very, very telling that if you start 0-2, it's like a 10% chance of making the playoffs. Maybe a better odds this year, but still not a place you want to be.
Yeah.
I don't have a question. Dan doesn't have a question. Savani does not have a question. Kyle doesn't have a question. But a very special guest does indeed have a question for us here on the 06010.
Hey everybody, my name is Allie and this is Blue, and Blue has a fantasy football question for you. Minnesota has a tough defense, but we just watched them get torched by the Packers. Which Colts player is in line for a big day against the Vikings?
That was a phenomenal question. For those that are listening to the audio here, that was Blue, the Colts mascot, the tremendous Colts mascot,
yeah,
along with his great friend Allie, sending along a social question for us here at ESPN. So what I think he's basically saying, Blue is wondering, is, you know, which Colt do you want to play on Sunday against the Vikings? We might be able to rephrase this as, how much confidence do you have in Nyheim Hines, Matthew?
Yeah, you're obviously starting Jonathan Taylor, who I have as a top 10 play this week, I think. And by the way, going to be a top 10 play for the rest of the season here. But I think Nyheim Hines becomes really, really interesting here. Think about this. Last week, the Minnesota Vikings allowed 9 different running back receptions in week 1. 9. And we think about Philip Rivers, you know, who loves to throw to running backs here. He completed 17 different passes to running backs in week number 1. And, you know, Hines was the recipient of a lot of them. He got more red zone usage than I think a lot of people expected as well. And so Nyheim Hines, who makes my love list, I am as a top 20 play. I think the Colts moved the ball significantly against the Vikings. The Vikings defense did not look ready for prime time against the Packers in week number 1, and I don't think that changes suddenly. I think the Colts are able to move the ball significantly. Again, we talked about this. You don't want to start 0-2. The Colts are desperate here. Colts need to win this game, and I think they got a real chance to do so, and they'll do it on the strength of their 2 running backs.
Yeah, the Vikings, by the way, also 0-1, so they need to win in a major way. The propensity for Philip Rivers throwing to running backs, we've discussed it at length, and a great question there by Blue. And we'll have a lot more context surrounding the visit from Blue to the podcast, and we'll tell a story one time of when Daniel and I went to dinner with Blue at some point. Daniel is right now wearing a Darius Leonard, the Maniac, jersey. Looking sharp right there in that Colt blue.
Nicely it as does. Well, I got to tell you.
Perfectly. Let's talk about one of his teammates, Matthew, who maybe Blue is also asking about Paris Campbell. He also makes your love list. Paris Campbell had 9 targets last week. He caught 6 of them.
Yeah, I just, my expectation here is like, look, I feel like people forget how good Paris Campbell was at Ohio State. And they looked at last year where he was lost and the offense, you know, under Jacoby Brissett was inconsistent as well. But you mentioned the 9 slot targets last week. All other Colts got 5. Again, these are targets to the slot. Think about what Aaron Rodgers did to the slot against Minnesota last week in week number 1. 12 for 13, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. Wide receivers against the Vikings last week, 22 for 315 yards, 4 touchdowns. We saw Aaron Rodgers just torch him again. That Vikings defense just doesn't look like a Vikings defense. Just, I think that secondary is going to struggle. Paris Campbell is obviously getting a lot of looks here, fully healthy here. I don't have him this way. You could make the argument to rank Campbell over T.Y. Hilton. Again, I have not done that. I have Hilton still over Campbell, but you could make that argument based on what we saw out of week number one. I think Paris Campbell is the real deal. He was a preseason sleeper for me. He was a preseason sleeper for Mike Clay and a lot of others here, and it's nice to see that's what's happening. So, yeah, all in on Paris Campbell this week. I have him at 27.
George Kittle is banged up. Evan Ingram struggled in week one. Gronk struggled in week one. A bunch of notable tight ends did not have a great day to begin their season. Dallas Goedert had an awesome day. He had over 100 receiving yards. He had a touchdown for the Eagles. He is a star player. He is inside all of our top 10, Matthew. Are we expecting this to be a weekly thing? Every week, top 10, tight end, Dallas Goedert. Because I think we are.
Yeah, based on the usage there, they absolutely love, like with a capital L, love Dallas Goedert in Philadelphia. It's easy to see why when you just watch the film. Like he's an insanely talented player here. I think this is a nice matchup with the Rams, who have struggled against tight ends. I know they're, you know, whatever. Blake Jarwin got hurt in that game there, but the middle of the field is not somewhere that I think that's a place where you can attack the Rams. Obviously, look, Jalen Reagor's still working his way back. My expectation here is that DeSean Jackson, they'll take some shots there, but you know he's also going to see some Jalen Ramsey, and so honestly. Like, what does Philadelphia do? They want to play a lot of two tight end sets. You know, Ertz is going to hit his, but I believe there'll be enough volume in this game for Dallas Goedert to be a top 10 tight end.
Can I rip through a few of the defenses I like for week two?
Please.
Start with the Arizona Cardinals against your Washington football team on Sunday.
Yep.
Not only did the Cardinals play pretty well defensively last week, I expect them to play pretty well defensively this week against the Washington offense that, as we know, is not quite there yet. Might take a full season.
It's a work in progress, and it's a bad offensive line.
It is a bad offensive line, and their schedule coming up is actually really favorable. You might be able to add Arizona, who's available in two-thirds of leagues, and utilize them not just this week, but maybe for like the next 4 weeks, starting again this Sunday against Washington. You got Chandler Jones, you got Budda Baker, you got Patrick Peterson, you got a bunch of playmakers on that defensive side of the ball that bodes well for Sunday. But the Washington football team also a reasonable streaming option here this week. I don't love the idea of facing Kyler Murray because the 8 sacks that Washington had last week, the most ever of Carson Wentz in a single game since he came into the NFL in 2016, not likely to repeat, but the front seven is no joke, Matthew. We always talk about how projecting defenses is basic. I mean, you're throwing darts for the most part, but sacks are one of those things that you can count on consistently from this defense because of how good that front four is. And one more here that I like, the Titans hosting Jacksonville. Sure. Titans available in about 70% of leagues. They have playmakers on the edge. They've got good pass rushers. They've got a good secondary. Gardner Minshew was awesome last week, but we do think that there are a limited number of players that are going to threaten a defense consistently from Jacksonville. I don't see the Titans giving up 43 points and leaving you with a -9 eyesore like the Vikings defense did this past week. God, that cost me in a couple of matchups. Boo-hoo Vikings defense.
Yeah, tighten up.
Tighten up. All right, Daniel, we're going to trivia here. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are.
Let's do a little early trivia because we got a couple of special things coming up in the show. What do you got? Or what does Kyle have? Or
yeah, Kyle, around? You want to jump in and do this? Geico trivia question of the day.
Yeah, I got you covered. We got the Lions, the terrible Lions against my Packers this week.
Boy.
Since 2014, only once has a Detroit running back on over 70 rushing yards against the Packers. I want you to name for me who it was.
All right, only one since the beginning of 2014 has a Detroit Lions running back on over 70 rushing yards against the Packers.
70 rushing yards.
Okay. Yep, I would imagine that I'm going to get this answer incorrect.
The confidence you need.
All right, does it sound like Kyle's microphone is on like a string through a tin can?
Yeah,
it does sound like
that's correct. Yeah, he is a walkie-talkie. All right, Stefan, you got an answer or no?
No.
Okay.
I I was thinking of it because
you can abstain. That keeps your winning percentage.
Well,
higher.
I go to the way back machine. See field when you have a longer frame of reference because you're a little bit older. So I tend to go way back, and I was told the other day that that Matt Forte was not a recent running back in the
Double or Nothing
Bears.
Jeopardy. Remember?
Oh, is that what that was? Oh, that's so stupid.
All right, I'm going to guess first. We don't have a ton of time left in the show. I'm going to guess first. I will go with Joik Bell. It's probably wrong, but he's the pride of Wayne State in Michigan, and I like Joik Bell.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm sure I got mine wrong, but I know that Reggie Bush was the answer to another.
I know.
You're just going to keep trotting that out there.
Yeah, why not?
So I was going to go with Mikel LeSure, but I think he was out before 2014.
Oh, God.
Okay, Daniel.
I was going to say Kevin Jones, but I don't think it was. I think he was before 2014.
No way. Yeah. Yep. 150% hustle, 50% talent. Nothing wrong with that. Not trying to be rude. Zach Zenner is the answer to this
oh
question.
Oh, my.
Zenner.
Dr. Zach Zenner, if I'm not mistaken. Now, good one there. Do we have time for this now? All right.
Yeah, okay.
For those of you that are watching on the live stream right now, I promise you will not be disappointed. We talked about our great friend Blue, the incomparable Blue, the Colts mascot. Here is a little sizzle reel from the best of Blue.
And for Blue's final question, if you had the first pick in the NFL mascot draft, who would you select? And before you decide, check out Blue's resume.
Was awesome. If you weren't watching this live, by the way, right. Go to @FantasyFocus on Twitter. You can find Blue's sizzle reel.
Like, so a lot of the feats that you saw in that sizzle reel would be impossible to do generally.
Right.
Like, I couldn't do most of them. But he's doing them in a costume.
He's amazing.
In a massive costume.
So let's answer the question. Who is your favorite mascot in the NFL?
It's got to be Blue
it's
now.
Undisputed.
I mean, how can it not
it's
be really Blue?
It's Blue. I feel like, so Stefania, would you agree?
You're my
boy,
Blue.
Do we have consensus? Is he our number one ranked?
I would just make one edit to that tape, and that would be no pie in the face of a 49er fan.
I know,
but other than
that,
it was perfect.
You know,
are they too used to it, Stefania? Is that the problem?
Wow. Call
Look, your team doesn't even make the reel.
The gauntlet has been laid down. It's a call to action now to all other NFL mascots. If you're out there listening right now,
Do you know who your mascot is, Matthew? You don't.
Do you have one right now?
Well, we don't have a team name yet.
Well, you have a mascot.
We got to find baby steps.
Okay.
Let's get an actual team name, and then we can have a mascot that's inspired by that team name.
We have Sourdough Sam.
Sourdough Sam. Ooh, Sourdough Sam. Do you have a sizzle reel? If so, pass it on along. That was outstanding. We'll tell the story.
Sourdough Sam. Is he in any way related to Moron Sam or Cowboy Sam?
It's a great question.
It's a good question.
I still go back
we'll tell
to,
the story of Blue at some point, the incredible dinner we had with him. He is a great inspiration and seriously an incredibly talented individual as well. Really quickly, Matthew, you have a couple of minutes here. Let's get through a couple of love hates. A quarterback that makes your love list plays on Sunday night. It's Ace Boogie.
Yeah, Cam Newton. I mean, again, the 2 rushing touchdowns since last year, since he entered the NFL, obviously leads all players in goal-to-go rushing touchdowns. Seattle, 5th worst goal-to-go defense since the start of last season. They allowed the Falcons to convert twice in goal-to-go situations in week 1. Give me some Cam Newton. I think he's completely legit. I have him as QB 8 this week.
Not Juju Smith-Schuster, but a separate Steelers wide receiver that makes your love list.
Deontay Johnson was targeted on 33.3% of his routes in week 1. Obviously didn't totally connect there, but I like this matchup here. AJ Boye is now on IR for the Denver Broncos. So it's a banged up secondary here. And so Deontay Johnson, I know Juju's the name, obviously, but Deontay Johnson is somebody that Ben has talked up in the preseason. I've talked up in the preseason. A lot of people have talked up in the preseason. I think this is the week you find out why.
All right. 2 players that make the hate list, not both from the AFC West, because Drew Brees plays in the NFC South.
Yeah, this is more just, look, I don't think Michael Thomas plays here. And by the way, Michael Thomas accounted for over 30% of Drew Brees' fantasy points last season, okay? And then you think about the fact that they're almost a touchdown favorite over the Raiders. I don't think they're going to need to throw a ton. I think their defense is so good that the Raiders will struggle to move the ball. So they're not going to have to throw a ton. I think you see a lot of Latavius Murray and obviously Alvin Kamara. You'll see some Sanders and stuff, but I just don't think Drew Brees has to have a massive game here to beat the Raiders. I think they go more conservative. I'm outside my top 10 for the week, which is rare for me on Drew Brees, which is why he makes the hate list, which is all about expectations.
Melvin Gordon, I'll just say it for you quickly, makes the hate list against the Steelers. I saw them play against Saquon Barkley last week. Saquon Barkley had -3 yards before contact. We got to go. We have a show on Sunday, Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2.
I am at Matthew Berry, TMR, on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. You're at Field Yates.
Yeah, I am.
On the gram, on Twitter. Stefania's at Stefania underscore ESPN on Twitter. He's at Daniel Dopp. Follow us all. Peace out. See you tomorrow or Sunday.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.